appropriate for that. So I want that you turn with me to the book of Daniel. And looking at the third chapter of Daniel. And I want us to look at verse number 15. The Bible says, "Now, if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I've made, well. But if you worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego," used to be the old ministers would insert the joke there, "a bad Negro." I'm not inserting, I'm just saying what they used to say. "And Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." In keeping with the theme of an unshakable faith, rooted in an unmovable God, and in consideration of the faithful response of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when their faith was put to the ultimate test, I would like to use as a theme for this lesson tonight, stubborn faith. Stubborn faith. Many times when someone is referred to as stubborn, it is in the context of being self-centered, or one who is seeking to live out or to pursue a personal agenda. Many times, the self-centered person is one who could care less about the needs of others. It's also one who has unyielding selfishness in his thoughts to others. And there are other things that we could say about individuals who are stubborn. But here we have three young men who were principled, who were selfless, who were wise. And when it came to their adherence to the will of God, it could be said they were stubborn in their faith. In other words, nothing was going to stop them from doing those things that they know they needed to do in response to the word of God. And I would like to use, again, as a topic, a stubborn faith. And I want to make four observations from this particular topic of a stubborn faith. When we look at the context of the story here in Daniel chapter 3, and it really begins over in Daniel chapter 2. King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And in this dream, he couldn't find anybody to interpret the dream. Well, first he was told by his men, "You tell us what you dreamt about, then we'll interpret it." "No, I want you to tell me the dream, and then I want you to interpret it." That was a tall order, wasn't it? But the Bible says that he called on Daniel to interpret the dream. And in the time that he gave Daniel to interpret the dream, Daniel fully and completely interpreted what Nebuchadnezzar had seen in his dream. So much so that when we look in Daniel chapter 2 and verse number 46, the Bible said, "Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face and worshiped Daniel and commanded that they should offer oblation and sweet odors unto him." And then he went on to say, "The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth, it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal them or couldest reveal this secret." And so now, on the heels of Nebuchadnezzar having had this dream, and Daniel went into great detail about an image, about this image that had gold and had metal and had mud mixed together. And it's on the heel of this image that Nebuchadnezzar, or Daniel, told to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar now has the idea that I'm going to build such an image. I'm going to build an image that really gives honor to myself. And Nebuchadnezzar, the Bible says in chapter 3 and verse number 1, the king made an image of gold whose height was 80 cubits and breadth was thereof 6 cubits, and he set it upon the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And you can just imagine the scene. There's a lot of, as they would say, pomp and circumstance. There were people that were there to give homage to the image. The Bible says in verse number 2 that Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather the princes and the governors and the captains and the judges and the treasurers and the counselors and the sheriffs and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And you know, this brings me to my first point when it comes to a stubborn faith. A stubborn faith confronts challenges. Here, you had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And another thing that we find in the last part of chapter 2 is that after Daniel had done and taken care of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, the Bible says in verse number 49, Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. These three boys were involved in the politics of the country. And now you have all the representatives of the country brought together. Again, the sheriffs and the rulers and the counselors and the treasurers and the judges, all these individuals together in one place. And it would seem that there was a lot of individuals there, and there would have been a lot of influence and a lot of pressure for them to conform to what all of these other individuals were doing. It seems like it would have been very easy for them to be able to fit in, to go ahead and do an obligatory bowing before the image. But in spite of their newly found position, in spite of their newly found power, they refused to bow down. When I think about it, this was not an occasion on which they said that, well, we'll just do what we want to do. We'll just go ahead and pay some sort of homage. No, they didn't have that option. This was not an occasion in which those who wished to pay homage could pay homage. this was an occasion on which Nebuchadnezzar had issued a decree. If it were 2018, he'd have put it on Facebook and on Twitter. Everybody's got to bow down to this image. We see it in verse number 7. Again, well, let me go back to verse number 5. That at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the horn and harp and the sackbut and the psaltery and the dulcimer and all those kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And look at what took place. The Bible said, therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, the Bible said, all the people, nations, languages, fell down and worshiped the golden image. You know, we have to have a stubborn faith when we look around and it seems like all the people are falling down to worship. We live in a day and time where it seems like all the people are falling down to materialism. All the people are falling down, are bowing down to worldliness. All the people are bowing down to pleasures. Young people, you go to school and you know that you want to be a Christian. You know what you learned at home and you know what you've learned at Sunday school. And you go there ready to apply it to your life as you go to school. But it seems like everybody around you is bowing down to something. Some of them are bowing down to drugs. Some of them bowing down to alcohol and bringing it to school. Some of them are bowing down to all sorts of other things. Single person. You want to be a single person. You want to hold and possess your body in sanctification. But you look around and it seems like nobody's. Everybody's bowing down, giving their body up in other pleasures physically. It seems hard when look around and it seems like everybody is bowing down. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego looked and saw all were bowing down to the golden image. But a stubborn faith says that no matter how many I see around me, no matter how many I see bowing down in this world, I need to stand up for the true God. A stubborn faith also acknowledges the constant power and the constant presence of God. I read for you just a few moments ago, at one time, Nebuchadnezzar acknowledged the greatness of God. Again, in chapter 2 and verse number 47, he said, of a truth, your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets. But now, when we look at it, and we look at him down to chapter 3 and verse number 15, and again he asks the question, now if you be ready, at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, if you fall down and worship the image which I have made, he said, well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast at the same hour in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And then he says, and who is that God? How is it that he moves from saying you are God of gods? But now when we move over here, he's saying, who is that God? How did he come from one place to another? When he needed the help and insight that could only come from God, and he received it, he worshiped Daniel, which, and then he also gave homage to God. But now he's saying, who is that God? How did he come to that point? I just believe that he's now once again trusting in himself. See, when I trust in myself, when I put my hope in myself, when I rely on myself, I can come to a point that I marginalize the presence and the power of God. Here's a lesson for us. As a part of having a stubborn faith, I need to stubbornly oppose any desire that I would otherwise have to trust in myself. When I trust in myself, when I trust in my own thoughts, when I trust in my own ability, when I trust in those things that I feel like I can do, as opposed to putting my trust in God, it puts me in a position where I marginalize the presence and the power of God. Nebuchadnezzar could not no longer see God because he was too busy looking at himself. That's why the Bible said in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And it said, lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. I can't trust in myself. Then when I think about this idea of trusting in God and this whole idea that about Nebuchadnezzar, we got to have a mindset as relates to the whole idea of God and his presence. The fact that as he trusted in God and knowing that God was going to bring about a solution to the problem, the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I love what they said here in chapter 3 and verse number 15. They said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered in verse number 16 and said, O Nebuchadnezzar, they said, we are not careful. We are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Now, Nebuchadnezzar had threatened them. He said, now who is that God who's going to take you out of my hands? And you see three cool-headed young men. They said, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer you in this matter. You know, when I think about the idea of not, when they said they're not careful. You know, I think about Paul's words over in Philippians chapter 4. He said in verse number 6, he said, be careful for nothing. He said, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, he said, let your request be made known to God. And when the text said, be careful for nothing, and here where it says, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter, they're literally saying, we're not worried about what you say. We're not worried about your threat. We're not worried about what you say you can do to us. It was a stubborn faith. In the midst of the threat, in the midst of all the things that Nebuchadnezzar claimed that he would do, they were trying to tell him, we're not careful to answer thee. Oh, when I think of the whole idea of this depth of faith, it was a stubborn faith, but the stubbornness even goes a little bit deeper. The Bible says, going down to verse number 17, and this brings to mind the next point, a stubborn faith erases doubt. Look at what it said in verse number 17. It said, if it be so. You know, this blows my mind because, and I guess as I think about it, if they were acting simply based on the fact that they knew he could do it, or they knew he would do it, you could possibly debate that it really was faith. Oh, I know that God will deliver us. So I can go on in here and the fire's not going to do anything. But the real stubborn faith was the fact that they said, first of all, if it be so, if God decides, if God determines that's what he wants to do, he is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. May God help us to determine or to come up with and to develop within our lives a faith that says, if God determines to do so, a stubborn faith says that even if God chooses not to deliver me based on my specifications, I'm still going to serve him. We live in a day and time in which a lot of folk in religion, they don't want a religion that tells them what to do. They want a religion that tells them what it's going to do for them. But you see, a stubborn faith says that, God, you're God. And no matter what you decide to do, I just have faith in your decision. And even if your decision is not my request, I'm still going to serve you. It's a stubborn faith. And you see, you know, and I thought about this. You hear about presidents that are trying to destroy ISIS. It's hard for them to destroy ISIS because they have a stubborn faith. And that stubborn faith takes them all the way to the point of death. They're going to be dedicated to the call no matter what happens. And I don't want to use ISIS as an idealistic group to follow, but there's something to that. We've got to have a mindset that no matter what is bound to happen in our lives, my life will never turn away from God. That's a stubborn faith. When I think about this further, not only does a stubborn faith erase doubt, a stubborn faith ensures a proper outcome. It ensures a proper outcome. Where they went on record of saying, even if, in verse number 18, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Wait a minute, you've just been promoted. You got these positions. You're in a position of power. You're there in Babylon. Your people under captivity. But you've got the good life. They wouldn't bow down. Chapter 3 and verse number 19, the Bible says, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. You know, this always kind of confused me, because it seemed like Nebuchadnezzar would have wanted them to suffer, and he made the furnace so hot, they just be gone just like that. But I guess he had his reason. But the Bible said, and he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. And you know, I don't know about you, but there are some scriptures that cause my sense of humor to be tickled. And this was it. In verse number 21, the Bible said these men were bound in their coats, in their hosen, which were pants, in their hats, And then the text said, and other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. See, like you're going to burn them up, you don't have to have on all that. But you know, but then look, the Bible said, therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the fire was exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew the men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the men that were taking them into the furnace. They were consumed with the fire. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, and he rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did we not cast three bound in the midst of the fire? And then he answered and said unto the king, true, O king, that's what we did. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like unto the Son of God. I wonder, how did he get from who is that God? Amen. To say this fourth one looks like the Son of God. You know, the thought I got here is that when we have a stubborn faith, we can help people to see God. People can read about God. People can read about the Lord Jesus Christ. But one of the best demonstrations of the goodness of God and how God can dominate the life of an individual, or how God can change the life of an individual, is for me to live that life and let people see God and his influence in my life. Let him see you love your co-workers even when they don't do right by you. Let them see you love your spouse even when maybe the spouse is not lovable. Children, let them see you go to school and maintain some sense of decency when everybody else is doing something different. This is the way that people can see God. Then not only that, not only does this outcome allow people to see God, but it brings about deliverance. It brings about deliverance. Look at what the text says. The Bible says down to verse number 26, then Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High of God, come forth. Now, they didn't obey him before, but they obeyed him that time, didn't they? Say, come forth from the midst of the fire. The Bible said, now here are all those people that were there, that they were a part of, that they should have bowed down with. But now these people are now have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego front and center. And the princes and governors and captains and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power. The hat, the coats, the pants, and the other clothes that they were wearing, not affected. Bible said, nor was an hair of their head singed, and neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. You know, I can't stand in front of my barbecue pit for 5 seconds without smelling like smoke. But these men were in the midst of the fire, completely unaffected. It was deliverance. And you see, a stubborn faith yields deliverance. And when God brings about deliverance, he delivers on a higher level. Then, not only that, not only did it allow others to see God, not only did it bring deliverance, but this stubborn faith brought glory to God. Bible said, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who had sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. God got his glory. Then finally the Bible said, therefore, Nebuchadnezzar said, I make a decree that every people, every nation, language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. I don't know if that's a great evangelism tool or not, but in their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sword. God, in the end, received glory. We need to have a stubborn faith. We need to be individuals who in the midst of our lives, we carry ourselves in such a way that we don't allow ourselves to be swayed. Bible said things which were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. We ought to have some hope in what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. They stood firm. They stood firm in the midst of a very challenging time and a very challenging situation. They didn't think about themselves. They didn't trust in themselves. Their whole aim was to please God. Let us have a stubborn faith. Let's not allow ourselves to be swayed. Let's be stubborn about those things that we know that God has called us to do. God is a stubborn God. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. In spite of us, he won't leave us or forsake. And I just believe the stubbornness of God requires that he have folk that are stubborn in faith toward him. Amen. May God bless us to do that. There might be someone here who's not a member of the Lord's church. This is not a time to be stubborn. You need to open up your heart. The Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Isn't it something that God, being such a great God who's done so much for us, he leaves the invitation open to us, to come to us. And he wants it, he wants us to come freely to him, to come and to serve and live for him. And here, as we come and serve and live for him, God has a great life that he's prepared for each and every one of us. And as we take on the example of a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God has the ability, as he blessed their lives, he has the ability to bless our lives as well. Here you're not a member of the Lord's church, hear the word of God, believe the same, repent of your sins, confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, go down to the watery grave of baptism, arise to walk in the newness of life, and live stubbornly for the rest of your life. Don't let anybody, let anything turn you around. Be stubborn. There might be here someone here that is a member of the Lord's church. Maybe you've not been living your life in a way that is pleasing and acceptable in God's sight. Make a change. Get back on the road. Get back to being what God has called you to be and what God has made provisions for you to live. Don't be stubborn in the world. Be stubborn in a relationship with him that adheres to what he tells us to do. If you have a need, we ask you please come as we together stand and sing the song of encouragement.
My God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keeps me in the valley. Hides me from the rain. My God is awesome. Heals me when I'm broken. Strength where I am weak. Can forever He will reign. My God is awesome. He can move mountains, keeps me in the valley, and hides me from the rain. My God is awesome. Heals me when I'm strength to where I am weak, can forever He will reign.